Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dreams Unlimited Travel podcast. My name is John Magi, and I'll be your host. And in this episode, we're going to talk to Dreams Unlimited Travel agent Chris Vorobek about a recent trip he took on the Disney Wish. Excited to hear about his take on that. Joined this week by Chris Vorobek, Dreams Unlimited Travel agent.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. We don't get to see each other nearly enough, so it's nice to see you.
I know. I know. And unfortunately, the other person on our meeting today, on our podcast today, gets to see me all the time, and he wish he didn't. Our producer, Craig Williams.
I don't get to see you enough, John. I mean that sincerely.
Boy, there's a lot of butt kissing today. I don't know what's going on. We can move on from that, I think. Excellent. All right. So I asked Chris to do a show with me because he recently came off the Disney Wish. I have not been on the Disney Wish since a pre-inaugural sailing. Those are great and a lot of fun, but you don't really get a chance to experience the cruise that way. I mean, you have to take the cruise as a vacation and go be able to experience the ship itself. Those short cruises don't really give you the full taste of it. So I'm really excited to hear his take on it. Chris, give me the setup. When did you go? Who'd you go with? What was the reason for choosing the date you did?
So this was a President's Day weekend cruise. It was nice because my son had, well, I don't tell. I took him out of school on Friday, but he had Monday off. So we were able to turn it into a nice long weekend. I had not been on the Disney Wish yet. We were scheduled to be on the inaugural. And when they pushed it back for COVID reasons, and they couldn't do that. The new dates didn't work for us anymore. So I was very eager to get on this ship and heard a lot about it. So was eager to experience it myself. Our sailing party was my much better half, and then my 12-year-old son. So he's no longer in the little kids club. We did go down and at least check them out. We'll talk a little bit about his experience. And it was really interesting going in because there has been so much discussion about the Disney Wish, and people have talked about it, and so I really wanted to scope it out for myself. So my general take is, you know, like so many things in our Disney world, Disney people love change as long as everything stays exactly the same.
Exactly. Or the other thing too is change it to exactly what I want. As long as you make it exactly how I want, I'm going to love it. So that's great. But go ahead.
And the Disney Wish is a much different ship than the other four. It has a very different feel. So my general take was, you know, if people who have not been on the other ships, by the way, the Disney Wish is an absolutely lovely ship, like all of the Disney ships are. It is spectacular. You will be wowed and amazed. And if it's your first time on a Disney ship and you're not doing the, well, they move this, they move that, you're going to have a fantastic time. The dining rooms are amazing. The spaces are just incredible. They did a lovely, lovely job on every part of it. It feels a little bit more elegant, I think, than the other four ships do. It's, when you walk into the initial atrium, which they now call the Great Hall, you know, it has this amazing lantern. The other ones do too, but this one's like dramatic. And I mean, it's filled with light and there's a stage right there when you walk in. And so it just has this real presence and grandeur around it that the other ships you get, but this really kicks it up a notch. You know, if I'm going to be that Disney person and critique it, it's the same number of passengers as the Disney Fantasy and Disney Dream. So no more passengers. But it, for me, it felt a little bit more crowded because a lot of the, what I was telling a friend of mine was the flow on it is different. And so a lot of the, because they've taken and put more space in like bar areas, and there are many more bar areas, some of the corridors are a little bit more narrow. So there's a lot more people pushing. So it feels more crowded in places.
I agree with you. That was my experience. And my experience was what they've done is they've done a lot more with the open spaces.
Correct.
With the common spaces. and a lot of people didn't like it. I happened to like it because there were things in place, again, being selfish, that I enjoyed. I love the coffee shops where they're placed on the cruise, more places to sort of sit and hang out, I felt. But you're right. It sort of, it impedes the flow of the ship, which many of us who are, you know, fans of the magic and the wonder and all those ships have come to realize and realize that that's come to enjoy and realize that that's what we liked in those ships. One of the things that's interesting about The Wish is while it's still very much within the Disney sphere of how these ships are decorated, it's not quite Art Deco. It's not quite Art Nouveau. They've kind of done this different spin on it with these brighter colors and things like that. And so I enjoyed that about the ship very much, how pretty it was.
Yeah, and as I say, the flow goes to, there are two banks of elevators instead of three on the other ships. There are weird flow things, like not all the elevators go to all the floors, particularly as you're going up. So some floors go to deck 11, some go to deck 13. So you have to kind of watch where you're going. Things like that are just, for me, they got a little frustrating. I totally get why they did it, and I love the space that that's used, how they use the space that they have. But things like that were just, you know, it was harder for when I'm on the other ships, I easily find my way around. This one was a little bit harder for me to find my way around. The other big change, and I'm going to talk about my son in a second, but the other big change is the adult area has moved. So the adult area on the other ships is essentially near the front of the ship, but it's kind of a walkthrough area. So yes, it's adults only, but kids have to walk through. That being said, my joke is the quietest place on planet Earth is the adult pool on a Disney cruise, because all those people know that if you go back one pool, it's and Disney movies and all that kind of stuff. So they're nice, quiet spots. They've moved the adult area to the back of the ship. And so you do have a gorgeous space with a kind of infinity pool looking off the back of the ship. That's where the Cove Cafe, so the main coffee area, is there. But as you mentioned, there's places to get coffee all through the ship, which was really lovely. I mean, I do tea, but it was easier, much easier to find.
One of the things that was the biggest complaint about The Wish was everyone was like, oh my God, the Cove Cafe, it's hidden in the back and you got to kind of find it. And it's not as prominent as on the other ships. But again, I've enjoyed these sort of little one-off coffee areas where you can get everything you can get at the Cove Cafe there. And the Cove Cafe is lovely. It's a great spot. We had afternoon tea one day there, but you know, again, I think this happens with a lot of cruise ships in general. When a new ship comes out, it's always the comparison to a previous ship. I do it with Royal, I do it with Celebrity, I do it with Disney. It's a natural thing. We all want to sort of compare and contrast and see what's better and what's worse. I think that with The Wish, I think when The Wish first launched, kind of got an unfair rap from a lot of people. A lot of people are super down on it, and I just think it needs another chance out there. But
I will tell you, it is so lovely. And like the theater is spectacular. I mean, as all the theaters are, but this one is particularly spectacular. I thought the shows were just really, really exceptional. We had a great time seeing those. And there are different places now we were on a three night cruise. And there is so much to do on that ship. It's hard to even see everything. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to do, and we didn't in Nassau, we didn't get off the ship, but we were racing around to try and, you know, I'm taking pictures of everything. So, and wanted to just see. So like they have a Star Wars bar, the Hyperspace Lounge. We basically pass through, but that's all we had time. We just didn't have time to do everything. There are many, many things to do on that ship. My son, so I have a 12-year-old who, basically eats, breathes, and lives basketball, which is shocking because he has a father who knows that basketball involves a basket and a ball, and outside of that, I'm out. So I don't know where the gene pool that came from, but there you go. So the other ships have an outside basketball court. This one is inside, which he liked. Because on the other ships, they have a netting over it so that balls don't, of course, go over the edge of the ship. The edging was, he was complaining, the netting is too low, so he couldn't do a full dunk shot. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means, but I guess that's bad. So this one was inside and it had a multi-use space.
Right.
So they had a basketball court. They also, on our Nassau day, they put this big, essentially blow up, that is themed around the Incredibles and kids can race through there. We didn't get to do that because the line was humongous. And we just, that wasn't where we were going to spend our time. And so, of course, my basketball son doesn't want to do the blow-up thing. He wants to do so he was frustrated by that. But he loved the inside space and being able to use that. I will also – and he didn't try it. We ended up spending a lot of time together. But the edge, which is for 11 to, 14 or so, so tweens – is a lovely, lovely space. Lots of video games, and every time we went by, it was very, very well used. And of course they have the Vibe too, which is for the teenagers. And that was also, we walked through there and it is spectacular. So both those spaces, they've definitely thought about how to, play them up a little bit and make them even better than they are on the other ships, which is great because, it's one of the things that I often hear working with clients is, okay, what's my team going to do on this? And they have these awesome spaces, that are available to them. So, which is great. I'm glad they're thinking of kids of all ages, literally, is very helpful.
I'm glad that, to hear about how, Nick had enjoyed the cruise, because this is a tough age. Yep. For Disney. They're not so young that they're into the young kids stuff.
You could have just stopped. It's a tough age, period, let me tell you.
In general.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of him from the pictures you sent. Oh, my God, he's gotten big.
He is big now. He's like, he's catching up on me. So, I now have to stand up perfectly straight in order to maintain my height advantage. So,
all right. So let me pivot for a minute. Let's talk about staterooms. Staterooms on the ship. How'd you like the stateroom, and how did you guys fit in one? Now that you have a bigger son, an older son.
So when he was smaller, he always wanted to be up in the balcony. Up in the pull down bed from the bunk bed. Now he wants to be down lower. Still, Disney having the two bathrooms is such a huge add. Because it just is, so one bathroom has a toilet and a sink. The other has a shower and a sink. It just allows us to do multiple things. And as he's entered his tween age, he's like very protective of his privacy. Great. Totally supposed to. Awesome. But he now can go off and have his little space and he's not in our space and we can still brush our teeth and stuff like that. So, the staterooms they have a more modern feel to them than the other ships. They're lovely. There's less storage space, which I've found. I mean, we were only on a 3-night cruise, so we didn't have a ton of stuff. But I'll be interested to see what they do with the Disney Treasure, which is going to be doing 7-night cruises. And I would be hard pressed to find space for everything in the ones on all the other Disney ships have like amazing amount of space. It's incredible the amount of spaces. One of the other things that is so awesome about, because one of the concerns I get, particularly from parents with little kids, is if you have a veranda, can my kids go out on the veranda and are they in danger? And this, like all the other ships, has a lock that's up at the top that's kind of out of reach. Now, it's not out of reach of Nick, but Nick's smart enough, you know, now in age right. where I don't have to worry about that anymore.
In the locks, so you need an engineering degree to get out of your balcony to figure out how to open or close those freaking locks.
Here's the thing. I'm still afraid that I'm going to fall off the balcony. I'm really worried about one bad night of sleepwalking and going off. So I it's all ages.
Well, they have the second lock. So if you can do the second lock in the middle of the sleep, I mean, as John said, it's hard for me to do when I'm awake and fresh. So I like a fairly.
Kylie moves the furniture in front of the sliding door for the balcony. Craig's going to go walk about on the balcony. So what category stateroom did you have?
So we were fancy this time. It was my better half's birthday. So we were in concierge for this trip. And so we got access to the concierge lounge. The concierge, you know, it's kind of a little, you know, does concierge make sense on a 3-night cruise? Cause you don't really get to use all the service amenities that come along with concierge. But I will tell you on this ship, the concierge, the concierge lounge, is big, spectacular. But they also have a whole deck on the front of the ship that is exclusive to concierge. That is a spectacular place to hang out and a glorious space, literally right on the front of the ship. So you get that great space.
Your stateroom was up by in the concierge stateroom area. So you're correct. It's very Titanic. It's very, you know, everyone else is away from you.
Right.
You get to board the lifeboats first kind of thing.
But yeah, we were on deck 13, which actually has so it's a deck ahead, over you is a passenger deck where people can walk. And I often when I'm booking guests, I don't put them right up against where passengers are going to be walking over your head because sometimes you get noise from people moving deck chairs or stuff like that. It's just, you know, don't want them sensing that, particularly if you have little kids and you may be napping. You don't want that going on in the middle of the day. We heard nothing from either side. We heard nothing up or down. So it feels like they've really insulated these rooms very, very well. I mean, there was no noise coming through, which is really nice. And a good add and something that's worth knowing. So
it's good to know you had that experience so that you could share that with folks, letting them know for sure. What kind of surprised you on the Wish? What did you say to yourself? Boy, this is really great. I'm so excited about this, or such a big difference in the other ships.
And I think we're going to talk about this separately because it was exceptional, but the dining on board is, they really kicked it up a notch. The dining is, so I won't go into a ton of detail here because I think we're going to talk about that in another show. Yeah. But it's, they really all different levels from the quick service to every part of it is really, really, we were thrilled, and something for everybody and just well, well done. So that was really nice. One of the things that's also remarkable is there's a good deal of shopping. Everybody loves their merch. So there are a bunch of different shops, and at different levels. They have a whole jewelry thing, which isn't really our thing. Well, they had a bunch of watches and my better half is into watches. So we spent some time in there, but there was one whole shop that we didn't even get into. And on a 3-night cruise, the shops are only open for, you know, they're not open in port. So you have to kind of catch time after dinner and it's hard to find your time to actually get in there. But it was, so there was one whole shop that we didn't even get into, that I would have liked to have, snuck in. But there's stuff for different ages. There's a lot of, Wish stuff. I was impressed with the various levels of shopping and stuff. DVC also got a huge, DVC must be doing really well because they got a huge space. it's, you know, on the other ships, they're kind of stashed in inside staterooms and they have a great spread on this ship. So, I will go back and say the ship is just lovely. We went to the kiss goodnight that they do in the Great Hall, and all the lights go off, and I for some reason my video didn't come out on it, but it's a lovely, that whole space is just really, really spectacular. And
it's great because that's like an immersive experience.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the middle of this quote unquote show that takes place in this huge space. That has special lighting and music that's playing. So that's a great experience. You mentioned the theater spaces. What about the shows? Did you get a chance to do the shows?
Yeah, we did all three shows. All three of them I thought were phenomenal. They've shortened the first night one, so it's a new show specifically for The Wish, featuring Goofy. It was great fun, and it's a little shorter, particularly on that first night when you get on board. And if you have little kids, you know, it's like, oh my God, there's been a lot that's gone on in that day getting on board, and they may not have had their nap. So I think it's really smart of them to kind of keep that pretty tight. And so kids can go off to La La Land. And it was great fun. And they have the Little Mermaid show, which was also, I thought, very well done. And then the third one is Aladdin, which is similar to other ones that they've done on other ships. But I'm happy to be in those Walt Disney Theater Cena shows. So yeah, I thought they were all great. And the space that it's in, you know, they're using that projection mapping on the walls and stuff. It's a great space to be in.
I agree. Those are fantastic spaces. Again, you know, I'm a broken record. We did a preview cruise and nothing was really working, unfortunately, when it came to the shows. You know, they did it a few minutes of the Little Mermaid show and then that went down and other shows. But I don't think that's a fair judgment of what those shows would be because, you know, they're working out the kinks. So that was our experience on that ship. What else? What else was the, you know, exciting stuff that you guys got a chance to do on this ship? There's a lot of interactive stuff on the ship. Did you participate in any of those things?
Well, so they now have one. They, you know, on the other ships, they have you go around the ship and you have different adventures that you do. The one now works through the phone. We didn't get a chance to do that. We just ran out of time, frankly. We didn't have time to do everything that we wanted to do, which is also great. But also, it's funny. I have one client who was telling me about her trip on the Wish, and they were going from 7 in the morning until 11 at night. And that's not the way I like to cruise. So we were not doing that. This was also, you know, I wanted to see everything, but I'm not going until 11 o'clock. She saw everything and was even telling me about stuff. And I was like, how did I miss that?
Exactly. So you chose to sleep at some point.
Yeah. My sleep is precious. So we didn't even get to all the bars. As I say, next time we get on board, I want to actually spend time in the Star Wars bar, which again, also I understand that it was really cool. I really wish we could have spent some time in there. I thought it was well done. The general take that the Disney people have done is like, it's not themed enough, but it was cool walking in there. And my 12-year-old thought it was cool. So that's kind of my measure is if he thinks it cool, then I can, oh, okay, that's not bad. But we didn't, there were a bunch of bars that we didn't even get to sit in, for goodness sakes. I can't wait to get back on it. I think we saw everything, but we didn't get to experience everything.
Right, exactly. You know, this is one of the issues with the Wish is it's doing 4 and 3 night sailings.
Right.
So, you know, you get the full cruise experience. However, they're very popular sailings.
Yeah, very popular. Well, and it's a great, if you haven't cruised before, that's what I tell people, start with either a 3 or 4 night because you'll get some people are afraid that they're going to feel claustrophobic on board or something like that. I don't, but I can understand how some people might. I think these are good first ways to kind of experience if you're going to even like cruising, if you're going to like Disney cruising. I should probably talk about the pools. The pools are different on this ship too. There's a bunch of them. I think it does a good job of spreading out the crowds and the people. So it doesn't, there is one one pool and the it's called Kid Soup. It felt a little Kid Soupy. Yeah. But by and large, because there's so many different little pools around, it's great. They have a lot of stuff for little kids. So if kids aren't potty trained, they can't go into the swimming pools. But they have a whole Toy Story kind of a splash area, which is awesome. And very wisely, they put a bar right next to it, which is so smart. But it's also themed around Toy Story. And in fact, the menu is on an Etch-a-Sketch, which I just thought was so cute. So they've done a lot of things like that, thought a lot of these pieces through. And the pool area. Oh, and the it's not Aquaduck. It's Aquamouse on the Wish. Nick was not as thrilled. I loved it. I had a great time. We went on it in a period when there was no one else, so they just let us run through three times without having to get off. It was fantastic. I'm like, I'm in heaven. So I thought it was great fun, very creative, well done, and fun.
Was that a Nassau day that you did?
Yeah, we did that. We came back early from Castaway in order to do that because we hadn't done it yet and we didn't want to miss it. So we came back early before all the hordes came back and we could easily get on it. So,
I want to switch a little bit. This is really not Disney related, but in general, there's been some information put out to cruisers going to Nassau in the Bahamas about travel and advisories and things like that. Did you guys receive those on the cruise? Were you worried about that at all?
They did. I was curious. They did not really mention it at all. We were on the Disney Dream for New Year's Eve, for a New Year's Eve cruise, and we stopped in Nassau then. And we actually walked over to Atlantis, to have lunch, was how we spent our Nassau day. You'll walk through areas, that, you know, it's not the most scenic thing ever. But I never felt unsafe. Like so many places, I mean, I live here in Washington, D.C., and there are places you can walk in Washington, D.C. that you need to be aware of your surroundings. And my sense is you just need to be careful. And, in general, what I tell clients is be aware. If you're doing a Disney excursion, they're going to pretty much make sure that you're safe and they're not going to do something that puts you in danger. Safety is a big priority with Disney, and they're just not going to do that. So if you're concerned about that and you still want to get off, just do a Disney excursion and you're going to be fine. But as I say, particularly when we got over to Atlantis, Atlantis, I think, is a little bit of a bubble, and you didn't even notice. I mean, it's nice, and we had a gorgeous lunch, and it was great fun.
Yeah, Nassau is one of those things that no matter what cruise we're on, we just skip these days. It's just not for us anymore, but people want to experience it and want to do it.
And I'm getting more people who are going over, either they'll get a pass to go over and use the Atlantis water park or use Baja Mar water park. There's also a really nice place that you can go and have a fancy lunch if that's what you want to do. So I pulled together a bunch of things that, so people can maybe if they want to get on board. But I mean, my goodness, staying on board a Disney ship, particularly on, as I say, this one was a 3-night, so we didn't have that much time on board. So we really wanted to take advantage of that time. So
did you have a lot of kids because of the holiday weekend?
It was, yes, and it was, I think they told us that they were at max capacity on board. So every room was taken, and some had, kids, so they were at like 101% of capacity. It was crowded. It was a, but again, the thing that I like about cruising and why I tend to do them like over New Year's or things like that, unlike resorts and stuff, once you're on the ship, the ship can only handle so many people. So at least I feel like, okay, I can kind of find my space
You figure out the patterns, you figure out the rhythms, you figure out when it's a smart time to head to the theaters and things like that. And
I should also mention the deck shows, which they've redone for the Disney Wish. And they were also really, really well done. Fun. I mean, they've done a new firework show for the Wish, And it's, I mean, I'm still blown away that we get fireworks on board a ship. It's awesome. I know other ships are doing it now too, but they do a great job, and the Pirates Night is really fun. So, you know, it's all that adds to the experience and makes it really, and we'll talk about this more in our, when we were talking about dining, but our servers were beyond exceptional. I mean, I've been on 22 Disney cruises now, I think. And these folks went above and beyond. They were just beyond exceptional. I was so impressed. So I think I had heard issues like they were just having trouble getting people there. And so some of them were a little stressed out and pulled a little thin. And I think they seem to have worked out those issues, which is nice.
Yeah, I think the cruise industry in general is just, you know, needs so many people.
Yeah.
You know, the demand is so high for folks to work these ships that, you know, you're going to run into that for sure.
Well, it was hard to go from COVID zero to ramp back up. Right. That wasn't easy, right? And, you know, these ships carry a lot of people. And so I think they're now back in the normal.
And, you know, whatever people want to say about Disney or whatever experience you've had that might be negative, Disney has a standard. They definitely have a standard that they want to bring on these ships and they want people to experience. So they have a little bit, you know, higher standard for their folks working on Disney Cruise Line, I think. Yep. Excellent. As Chris mentioned, we're going to do another show specifically about dining on the Disney Wish and his experience with that. So hopefully you'll join us for that show in about a week. I want to remind folks, if you want to book your Disney Wish or any Disney Cruise Line sailing with Dreams Unlimited Travel, we do offer a shipboard credit that is upwards of $1,000 on your onboard account that you can spend on anything that you like while onboard the ship. And also, we send our folks sailing on the Disney Cruise Line a Things You Didn't Know You Needed gift bag, and that will arrive at your house couple weeks before you sail with some items that we think will make your cruise a little bit better. And again, if you want to book through Dreams Unlimited Travel, you can contact Chris V@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. If you already have an agent, reach out to them, or you can write to me, John@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and I'd be happy to help you get to someone who knows more about Disney cruises than I do. All right. That is it for this week. I truly appreciate you giving us your time there, Chris, and sharing your experiences with us.
My pleasure. Love to talk about the Disney cruising. So,
excellent. All right, everybody at home, thank you for listening and watching. We hope you have a great week, and we hope you have a great vacation.